Affordable child care is oxymoronic to many San Antonians. Workforce Solutions Alamo reports 5,000 families are on a year-long waiting list for subsidized child care, and over 100,000 families in the state rely on subsidized child care. Even if you have the means to pay for daycare for your children out of pocket, you might still encounter challenges, including non-traditional work hours that aren't 9 to 5. I'm Norma Martinez in today for David Martin Davies. And on The Source, we'll be tackling child care in San Antonio. And we invite you to share your experiences with our panel of experts. Our number to call is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. We're also tweeting live at TPR Source. You can also email us your questions or comments at thesource@tpr.org. And in the studio with us today is Rhonda Roach with the City of San Antonio Department of Human Services, Ana de Hoyos O'Connor with the San Antonio College Early Childhood Studies, and Elisa Resendez, Service Coordinator for the Family Service Association. Welcome, everybody.
It's great to be here.
Rhonda, tell us a little bit about what the city offers through its Department of Human Services when it comes to child care.
Okay, thank you, Norma. First and foremost, I just would like to share for our listeners to go to the website sanantonio.gov, Department of Human Services, and there we have multiple links that will give you information around our Child Care Assistance Program, which is our CCS. Most of our community recognize that as CCS. There's also information regarding the After School Challenge. We have information regarding our Head Start program, which is birth to 5 years. And that includes our Early Head Start Child Care Partnership Program. There's also information regarding our emergency child care services. And so each one of these under our department has different web pages that provide a little bit more. And I can talk a little bit more about that if you would like for me to do that now.
Sure, we'll go into some details. I'll link a little bit later in
the
show. But let's move on to Ana. Ana, you're with San Antonio College. What does San Antonio College offer for its students? Because I know a lot of schools and university students, they are parents, and sometimes they just don't know how their children will be cared for while they're attending class.
Correct. And we've been really fortunate. We obtained a grant. And at this point at our center, we're able to have students attend our online, our classes there. And then they bring their children to our center. And we have a partnership with Early Head Start. So if you are a student at San Antonio College and you have a child from birth to age 4, we have capacity there at our center. But we also link out to other programs. When a student comes up, we don't go, oh, we're full, or you don't meet the requirements. We collaborate with the city, we collaborate with family service and other programs. So right now the grant provides students that are going to school to bring their children there on campus. We're a small center. We have 8 classrooms, but that does help students that are on the bus, or students that right now, maybe this is the first time their child's ever been in care, and so they want that proximity.
Well, the center is actually something really fascinating we'll be getting into a little bit later. But Elisa Resendez with Family Service Association, tell us a little bit more about that group.
Yes, so over at Family Service Association in our early childhood programs, we do offer resources for families to help them search for any type of child care that they're looking for within their schedules. We do have what we on our website. If they can go on our website, familyservice.org, they'll see different pages as well where there's different resources for them in reference to our child care resource and referral hotlines. We do also have a Head Start program that encompasses birth to 5, and then we also connect families to other possible programs out in the community that will help meet their needs in reference to childcare.
Well, it sounds like there's a lot of alternatives out there mm-hmm. for working parents, because I know most people, when they have children and they're working, it's getting to that time where they have to go back to work. And maybe they haven't explored some of the programs that are available for them, whether or not they may qualify for subsidized childcare. Sometimes they think, well, we'll just take them to grandma's house, but maybe there's no grandma around. Well, there's a lot of different types of child care, I understand. And Rhonda Roach with the City of San Antonio, you were talking about a number of those programs. Tell us a little bit about this licensed child care for 14 and younger. That's one type of child care out there.
Okay. Well, for licensed, there's center base, and there's also home base. And so either one of those can be regulated under what is now the Texas Health and Human Services Commission. Many of our listeners may recognize that from the Texas Department of Family Protective Services, TDFPS, but that has been through a change. And we are regulated by minimum standards. And those minimum standards really set the baseline, if you will, in regard to what licensed facilities, whether it be center base or home, must comply with. So that's one option, is through the licensed child care. And that can be private for profit, that can be nonprofit, that can be faith-based, a lot of different options that still can be registered or licensed through HHSCS.
And some schools also offer before and after school programs, and those fall within the independent school districts here in San Antonio?
So with the public school, they are exempt through TEA, the Texas Education Agency. However, if a district chooses to be licensed, they are more than able to do that. And that's just stepping up to another standard, but they are not required. They are exempt through TEA.
Give us a call at 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. We'll be getting to some of the affordability of child care, and I think the common knowledge whether or not parents qualify for subsidized child care is the cost. And what does the city do, Rhonda, in order to inform people about the cost? And there's individuals out there, if you are facing challenges affording childcare, we're going to be hearing from Leah after the break, but 210-614-8980, we do need to hear from you. We need to hear your stories. How do you handle childcare? Rhonda, really quickly, what does the city inform residents about when it comes to affordability?
Sure. The Child Care Services Program is the first place that I would encourage anyone to check with. And going to the city's website and looking for the Child Care Services Program. It's funded through the Texas Workforce Commission. It is an avenue to provide subsidy for families. It's based on income, family size, and it's for Bexar County and the surrounding 11 counties. There's also an emergency care services, and that's for families in crisis. There's a little bit of funding there, and it is funded through our city council. So again, that is on our Department of Human Services website and does list the specific criteria for the families in crisis at risk for needing or losing housing or child care so they can call.
Well, we're going to go to a break right now, but again, the number to call to share your story is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. We're going to be hearing from Leah and Anna Marie, who are on the line with us. With us in the studio, Rhonda Roach with the City of San Antonio's Department of Human Services, Ana de Hoyos O'Connor with San Antonio College, and Elisa Resendez with Family Service Association. You're listening to The Source. We'll be right back. Welcome back to The Source. Our topic today is affordable child care. Is it? We have in the studio with us Rhonda Roach with the City of San Antonio's Department of Human Services, Ana de Hoyos O'Connor with San Antonio College Early Childhood Studies, and Elisa Resendez of Family Service Associations. We were talking in the first segment here about subsidized child care. What exactly is the definition of subsidized child care? We'll go to you, Elisa.
Yes, so that is where there's programs out in our community that parents can come in, do an application, register, and then based on their income, we help supplement their weekly or monthly cost to the child care services that they will be receiving to meet their child's needs.
Well, on the line with us right now is Leah. Leah has problems paying for childcare. Leah, you say that the cost for daycare is more than a mortgage?
Yes, I am a registered nurse, and my husband's a banker, and we have twins that just turned 4 years old, and their daycare cost is greater than our mortgage, and we were kind of hoping that next year when they could go to pre-K, we would get some relief from that, but my understanding is pre-K for SA only takes Spanish-speaking only children, or if you don't make a certain amount of money. But that's very frustrating to me because I feel like the people that are working all the time and that need help as well don't get it.
Well, Leah brings up a good point. There are a lot of families struggling to pay for childcare, and yet they might not meet the eligibility requirements. Mm-hmm. Rhonda?
Yes, the Pre-K for SA program does have a family criteria that is outlined by the Texas Education Agency. And currently, they're partnering with 7 specific districts. So there is an extensive webpage on the sanantonio.gov website that families can go to see what their criteria is, or even by calling at 210-206-7735.
Can you give that number one more time?
Absolutely. 210-206-7735. I do want to clear up one. It is not exclusively for Spanish-speaking students. So it is for 4-year-old children.
Anna, you have a follow-up?
Mm-hmm. I think one of the most difficult things for us to understand as a community, so I want to talk to just the community here in San Antonio, is that early care and education is expensive. And so unlike if you go to a store, I love H-E-B, and I go to H-E-B and there's only 2 people, I stand in line. And I'm okay with that. I can stand in line. But children can't wait. And so we need to meet ratios. So that means that we have to pay for staff. We have a floater because our staff need to take breaks. And I think that's what's difficult is for families and sometimes our community members to understand that quality care is expensive. So programs like San Antonio College has the support of our president and our board, and we've got great people that wrote a grant. Grant came in, so now we can have subsidies for our students. But we also have their support because we cost our college. And we do that because we know that our students coming to college and being successful, they're going to be in the workforce. And so it's difficult. I think parents come in and they go, that's just too expensive. That's a car payment. That's a rent. And the reality is that child care is subsidized by its workers because they're also not paid what school district teachers are being paid. And so in early care and education, we know that that's where brain development is occurring. We know this. It starts at birth. It's in these wonderful early Head Start programs that you see throughout the city, both in family service and in the city of San Antonio, but it's expensive, and it's that's that cost that parents don't see on that.
The number to call again is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. Elisa Resendez with Family Service Association, you had something to add?
Yes, I also wanted to let Ms. Leah, I believe is her name, right?
Yes.
Ms. Leah, that there are other options out in our community as well, such as with Family Service Association. We do offer the Head Start services for those children that are birth to 5. And that could be an option for her as well. She could call our number at 299-2740.
One more time?
Yes, 210-299-2740. And she can inquire and start the process of how to start that application process for next year, I believe, is when her children are going to be ready for pre-K. And we can start working with her and giving her those other alternatives that are out there, not only within Family Service Association, but if out in our community as well.
Okay, our number again is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. We're tweeting live at TPR Source, and we're also, you can reach us by email at thesource@tpr.org. We have a question by Aaron regarding military families and eligibility. Aaron, good afternoon.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I was curious for young military families, especially young military spouses, it's very challenging for them to continue their education and careers from place to place. So I was wondering if any military spouses would be eligible for these programs if they're not Texas residents.
I think that's a great question. I would really highly encourage you, Erin, to make the calls. There are online applications. I would get an application in for child care services. I would get an application in also. Lisa talked about Family Services Head Start. City of San Antonio, we have a Head Start program. We work with schools located within San Antonio ISD and Edgewood ISD. So if your children are of preschool age, we also have the Early Head Start Child Care Partnership, which is birth to 35, 36 months. Also, too, call your public school, call your community school, and check what is the process to get an application in and go through for the public pre-K program, okay, depending on the age.
I know Anna wants to follow up, but really quickly, Rhonda, what would the application requirements be? What's the qualifications for approval or disapproval?
That's really a great question, Norma, and honestly, because every single program may have a different criteria based upon the funding and where the funding is flowing from, it's very difficult to say, this is the same as this program, because all has a little bit different in regard to how they fund and approve families for assistance. So that is my strongest encouragement, is to have the families actually either make a call or go online and put in an online application to get someone to call back.
And Anna, you had a follow-up?
Because if you're in the military right now, I would also encourage you to please go to someone there on the military. There's got to be on base, there's centers, and most of the centers in San Antonio on base are accredited. That means that they meet the highest standards. They also have day home providers on base that are accredited that meet the highest standards. So I do know that our military bases here in San Antonio are doing great work in having early child care programs on their base, because many of their teachers are our students in our program. So I think that's one avenue people forget. I met a wonderful father one day at SAC, and he was sharing with me that his wife worked at USAA and he was coming back to SAC. And I said, are your children at the center? And he goes, what center? He wasn't even aware that USAA, the amazing company that we have in San Antonio, has a child care center for their parents. Mm-hmm. So sometimes, you know, we get really in our own personal silos at work and we're working really hard. But I know that the base has centers. We have a couple of corporations because of Bright Horizons that have centers. And so it's really finding out within your own program where you work what programs are being offered. But I do know that in our community, our bases do a great job with their early care centers.
And you had a follow-up, Elisa.
Yes, and also over with Family Service Association, we can also provide some support and guidance to Ms. Erin through our Children's Resource and Referral Department. That number she can call is 210-431-7581, 210-435-7581, and she can call and let them know that she's with the military and that she's looking for child care for her children, and we can set up a consultation with her in reference to looking at all those child care options that are available. As Ms. Anna mentioned, you know, we have lots of centers within our community that service a military. We do ourselves with Family Service Association through our Head Start. We also accept the military families, just like Ms. Rhonda's program over at the city. Mm-hmm. As well. So there are options for our military families.
Our number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. And we're going to go next to Anne Marie. She has an experience to share about child care at UTSA. Anne Marie?
Hello, good afternoon. Thank you for taking my call. I am a full-time student here at the University of Texas in San Antonio, and I do have a 23-month-old baby girl. My question was pertinent to the CSS directly. I contacted them, and I do meet the eligibility checklist and the income criterion because my estimated family contribution are all zeros. But our obstacle is the wait list period. Mm-hmm. They state that the average wait list is 2 to 3 years in duration, and I'd also have to call and update monthly in order to maintain my eligibility status. In 2 to 3 years, I'll be graduated. So what resources are available here at for students pursuing a higher education that has a more expedited service? Because the centers are obviously available, funding is being dispersed,
Where is the disconnect to where we're having to wait so long to receive these services?
Okay, Anna.
Well, and there is a disconnect, Anna Marie, and I will share with you, I think that's just an epidemic that's happening, not only in this community, but across the nation. The Alamo Colleges, all three of our colleges do have on-site early childhood programs. But again, as you're saying, we have a wait list and we have slots for students, but there's more need out there. And so I know that UTSA does have an early childhood program, and once again, we need more funding so more students can go to school, and that's why San Antonio College, you know, in writing the grant, obtaining the grant and funding, can provide services for children at the center, but we also work with centers around the surrounding area. So if you are a student at San Antonio College, contact our early childhood program, because if we have space, then we can put you not only in our center, but around the areas. But cost is an issue, and that's citywide and nationwide.
Well, a follow-up call here from Daniela. Daniela, you have a complaint about the UTSA downtown campus and the fact that they're still trying to work on getting childcare. Mm-hmm.
Well, it's not really a complaint. We actually we're Students Raising Children, an organization for UTSA, and we have helped create a downtown campus childcare initiative to get a childcare center there. And we are partnering up with La Trinidad, and we will be opening up the center in spring for non-traditional students that do need childcare, just like Anne-Marie just called, discussing her situation. And I think the issue, though, is that this conversation needs to happen regardless. Our problem at UTSA at this point is that a lot of us are taking classes in the evening, and there are no options for evening childcare. And I think that, you know, I've been waiting for this conversation for the storm to happen, because it's something that it's not just, you know, other parents, it's student parents that we're trying very hard to continue our education. And in the evening, we don't have childcare.
And Daniela brings up a good point. San Antonio has a very large population of non-traditional students. We have a lot of military here, as we heard from our call earlier, and a lot of people who sort of put off going to school for several years before going back. So there are quite a few families that are being affected, and they are demanding more child care at universities. Rhonda?
Sure. One of the things that I would recommend is if a student hasn't already is to check on the Workforce Solutions Alamo website. I think there is an abundance of resources there. It lists all of the licensed child care that are participating with the Texas Rising Star, and that would be traditional and non-traditional hours. So I think that would be a great place to go, as well as just child care licensing, the website for the Texas Health and Human Services Commission. Also, I do want to mention, and this may offer some, you know, another way of thinking too, for the students, United Way, they offer a child care scholarship for parents that are in post-secondary education, and that's funded through their Women's United and the Children's Issue Council and with other donor dollars. Now, obviously, I'm sure that's limited, but it is something to check into.
Well, we're having a fascinating conversation here. We want to hear your story at 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. What challenges are you facing when you're trying to find the right kind of child care? And is San Antonio a child care desert? We'll address that when we come back. You're listening to The Source. Again, give us a call at 210-614-8980. We want to hear from you. We're also tweeting at TPR Source. And you can email us your question or comment at thesource@tpr.org. We'll be right back. Welcome back to The Source. I'm Norma Martinez and with David Martin Davies. And today we're talking about child care. Affordable child care is an impossibility to find the right place to take your child while you're at work or in class. In the studio right now, we have Rhonda Roach with the City of San Antonio Department of Human Services, Ana de Hoyos O'Connor of San Antonio College Early Childhood Studies, and Elisa Resendez with Family Service Association. And Ana, what is a child care desert, and are parts of San Antonio considered a child care desert?
Yeah. So the report came from Children at Risk, and it's an amazing report. And we do have some areas in San Antonio. And so listeners can get on their website to obtain this information, and you put in your zip code of where you're looking, and it shares with you where are the centers that are subsidized, where are the centers that are Texas Rising Star. And again, Texas Rising Star is our quality improvement. You know, it's where centers apply and they receive stars on
higher standards,
yeah, right, and what and how they are and also accredited. So I put in the zip code of where I want to find a, you know, the center, either it's close to my house or close to work, and it'll let me know, this is how many accredited centers are in that location, this is how many centers are in the system for Texas Rising Star. And when you get on the site, and again, the children at risk are the developed this, it's amazing, it's just amazing to look at, you can see that in our city we do have pockets of areas. One of the things when I was looking at this report is I was wondering within there how many young children are in that area. So are we lacking some sites because we don't have that many children in that area? I'm not sure. But again, we want to keep this in mind in our community as we look for improving quality in all of its pockets.
Well, hopefully to enlighten us, we do have Shay Everett of Children at Risk on the line. Good afternoon, Shay.
Hi, and thank you for having me, and hello to your wonderful guests who I work with quite often on these issues. And so, yeah, thank you for explaining the child care desert work that we've recently done. You can go to childrenatrisk.org/childcaredeserts and read a little bit about our analysis and look at our mapping tool. We can't search by zip code just yet, but we're adding that in. You can search by your county and zoom in of where you live. And to answer your question, Anna, we do have, you know, the relation of child care providers to the number of kids in the area with low income, who are low income and have working parents. So there is that kind of that relationship between child care and or children in the area and the child care providers available.
And Shay, it looks like the numbers are pretty stark. According to your website, there are an estimated 220,000 more low-income children ages 0 to 5 with working parents than there are available subsidized child care seats in not just child care centers, but in registered homes. So that's what, 291 seats per 1,000 children? Can you elaborate upon that?
Yes, and so we definitely do not have enough seats for the number of kids that we have and the kids in working families, and that's important to take a look at as well. But what I'd also point out are the number of quality seats that we have. So Children at Risk kind of looks at, from a systems level, access to quality for parents. And, you know, we don't have a quality supply across Texas and also in Bexar County. In Bexar County, out of all the child care centers and homes, only less than 10% of them are certified as some sort of, with some quality certification, like Texas Rising Star that you had mentioned. And so, you know, one thing I wanted to hear from your guests today are maybe some advice for parents on how, what to look for in quality and how to really ask for quality, because many parents choose their child care based on location and cost, which is really important, but also asking those questions of the child care centers, you know, do they have a quality certification? That'll really help eventually improve the supply. If parents are demanding quality, the market will start to meet that demand. And so parents play a really important role in this too. And so I kind of wanted to get some perspective from your guests today on that.
And Deshae also brings up a good point. You can't just go on Yelp and say, what's the best child care facility in my neighborhood? So Anna, what do you want to respond?
So one of the things I'd like to share with the listeners is that in San Antonio, we truly are doing some amazing things. So before I even talk to the parents, we collaborate. We collaborate together. United Way brought us all together to just look at, you know, where do we want to go and how do we really want to do a better job for the children. And as you can see, even within the three of us here, we share resources. We invite each other to training. We really know that we want to move towards more quality. So what do I do as a parent? I mean, and it's difficult. It's difficult. But one of the things we share with parents is, I always tell parents, don't only look at the building. Right. You want to look at the teachers. Mm-hmm. You want to go in on various times, mm-hmm. and that center should have that open door policy.
Absolutely.
Now, I will share with you, when kids are sleeping, we do ask our parents to allow them to sleep. So many centers will say between the hours of 11 to 2, if you could just please, you know, restrain, that's when our kids are napping, and we don't want, you know, anyone waking up and being upset. So look at the quality of your teachers, and also what's going on in that program. Look for lesson plans. Look to see. I love when I visit programs, and right on their door it talks about how they're attending San Antonio College, how they have a degree from UTSA, how they're just received some training from their Head Start program. So these are teachers that are saying to you, I continue to learn and grow. So I'm looking for teachers. I'm looking at the quality of the program, from curriculum to where they are. I mean, I want to know, when was your last visit from licensing, and what did licensing find? I want to know that you're on the Texas, on the road to 4-star. And I can say to my parents, I'm 2-star, but I'm on the way for 3-star, because it's a journey. And we also share with parents, you're part of the partnership. And so when centers are asking you to come in on a weekend and help us put mulch or move our sand or build something, it's part of a partnership. Early care is the start for parents. This is when they start building that relationship with the school. And they have parent meetings and home visits and conferences. And so when we educate our early childhood workforce to really provide those qualities, this becomes a parent that is locked in for the rest of that child's life for education. But it's building the relationship, looking for teaching, curriculum, all of that, and the licensing.
Yeah, you're right, Anna. One of the things I would really encourage our listeners, ask what are the ratios, mm-hmm. teacher to child. You want to look for low ratios, small group sizes. Mm-hmm. What does the nutrition look like that's being served? And that's important, because a healthy child is much in a better place to learn, right? Mm-hmm. So what else is happening within that center from curriculum?
And another question a lot of people might have that they might not think about when they're going into that particular center they're investigating, what kind of citations might have that daycare center encountered in the last couple of years. I know that investigators have looked into certain centers and found that maybe some of the caretakers might not know how many children they're responsible for, or they might give an improper dosage of medication or not be aware of a particular allergy. So where would you advise parents to go to look at those particular citations so that they're aware of maybe any past problems that may or may not have been resolved?
Absolutely. Go take the time, if they have a center in mind, and go to the Texas Health and Human Services Commission Child Care Licensing, and you can do a search for that particular license provider and be able to read their last and history of licensing inspections. And that is a must for any type of care that's registered through the state regulatory agency. That information is there, so I'd highly encourage families to take that time to do.
Our number to call is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. You can email us your question at thesource@tpr.org. You can also tweet us at @tprsource. And we actually did receive an email earlier today from Kimberly. She said that she left an abusive marriage, moved thousands of miles away from her ex, but unfortunately, that also meant she was separated from her family. She had no support network, and she herself became a registered home daycare provider. She had no benefits. She did not qualify for health insurance until the Affordable Care Act came around. And she also realized, even though it was too late for her, there are organizations like one she found called coabode.org, which pairs up single moms to share homes. And I think Kimberly brings up a really good point that there are a lot of resources that maybe parents might find online where they can partner up with each other, a single mom or single dad staying at home with their kids. Maybe they can, you know, trade off the care. Do you find any issues with incidents like this, Elisa?
Yes, so over at Family Service Association, we do have, like I mentioned, the Children's Resource and Referral line where we can help them make those connections as well to how they can connect with others within the community that they're in to help subsidize those needs that they need for their children for child care as well. We also have what we call our family friends and neighbors program where we have its weekly get-togethers of families that need support for those non-traditional needs for our children being cared for these families.
Well, we want to hear your story. We're going to take a break really quickly. The number to call is 210-614-8980. We'll be hearing from Bianca after the break. 210-614-8980. Again, you can email us your question at thesource@tpr.org or tweet us at @tprsource. Our topic today is child care and affordability and accessibility. Share your story with us, 210-614-8980. We'll be right back. Welcome back to The Source. Our topic today is child care, affordability, and accessibility. I'm Norma Martinez in today for David Martin Davies, and joining me in the studio are Rhonda Roach with the City of San Antonio Department of Human Services, Ana de Hoyos O'Connor with San Antonio College Early Childhood Studies, and Elisa Resendez with the Family Service Association. And we had an email a little earlier today from Sandra. She says she's worked in several good programs, but the target populations for these programs are very limited, and the current federal budget proposes deep cuts to Head Start. So Sandra wants to know if the city has any plans to expand a pre-K for SA. Rhonda, we'll go to you. You're with the City of San Antonio.
That's a great question. I know that the vote measure will come up soon, and I think the people will speak. I don't know that there is any information on the table at this point in time. There is specific funding for what is in place, and I guess the voters will have to drive that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, the number again is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980, and it looks like the topic of child care at the University of Texas at San Antonio is a pretty hot topic today. And Bianca, you have something to add to the conversation?
Yes, hi. I'm actually a single parent, and I have a son who is actually 4. And one of the problems that I've had is with childcare is that it's so expensive and basically unaffordable. While I was going to graduate school, I just recently graduated from UTSA. I actually had to work during the day, and my classes were at night. And one of the most difficult parts of trying to finish my degree was actually trying to find child care so I can attend my classes. And the thing is, since I worked during the day and my classes were at night, it was very difficult to find child care because most child care centers are not open at night, and the ones that are very expensive or they are not close to campus.
Right. And you know, that is an issue. I'll share with you that at San Antonio College, at one time we had, we tried Saturday care, and we just didn't have the numbers. And I think sometimes it could be a narrative. I'm not sure. I mean, how many children right now need night care? Because what we do find, and that's where the City of San Antonio, United Way, and other agencies did a great job with family, friends, and neighbors. Many, many students, so if we're focusing on students need care if they're going to school at night, but they feel more comfortable leaving that their own child with someone at a home because that's where the child can play outside in the backyard and have dinner with the family, take a shower, bath, and then go to sleep. That the need is there. If the need is there at the university, I like what the last caller talked about is how can people pull resources? How can they share? You know, I'm going to go to school on Monday nights, and I'd look for someone who goes to school at another night and say, look, I'll watch your daughter or son and you watch mine. And so I hate to say that we have to think out of the box that way. I wish that we had funding to support that, but that's the issue. You know, at San Antonio College, we did receive the C Campus grant, we're the only ones in San Antonio that receive that C Campus grant. So that allows students to come to our school, you know, to the center, and pay a minimal fee of $15 to $20 a week, right? It goes by their income. So it's also everyone who's listening to this and has children or knows someone who has a child under the age of 8 and saying, I'm going to call my legislator. I have no young children at home, but my legislator's here for me because I don't want Head Start cuts. And one time my legislator said, well, do you have your child in Head Start? And I went, no, but that child's going to grow up and take care of me when I'm older. And so for all the listeners, it's really, really talking to all of our legislators and everyone and talking about why we need funding, not only for the children that are at risk, but also for the middle class, those two parents or that one parent who's making just, you know, $5 more to afford that care. And we need to speak up more. I think we wait sometimes when there's a conversation like we're having right now, and that needs to stay. I know for me, when I see someone with a child, I always wonder, where are they at? Where is that child at? You know? And so we want to take care of the children here in San Antonio, so that means all children. And so my children are not at Head Start or Pre-K for SA, and that's okay. I'm still going to vote for funding to come down because I believe in children. And so as a parent, and I, it was many years ago when I was a single mom, I was able to find someone to help me out with my daughter. And so we just helped each other out. I was at Incarnate Word University now, and when I went to school at night, she was there in the dorms with someone, and I helped her with something else. It's bartering.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think also social media is going to play a big part. Somebody has to be the one to sort of be the launching point. And I know there's so many Facebook pages out there that offer some sort of support, so many websites, like, for example, this email that we got from Kimberly, who moved thousands of miles away, and she found an organization where single moms can communicate with each other and team up and share, I don't want to say custody, but care of their children back and forth. So I don't know, Bianca, if that's something you might be able to look for, or maybe even, you know, launch yourself, you know, just reach out and see if there's a way where you can actually share the care, since, you know, we're kind of in desperate straits, so many children. Anna.
But you had 3 calls from UTSA. We have a new president there. Of course, I don't know the new president, but I will share with you that most presidents at universities, I know at San Antonio College, we're very fortunate. Ours has pizza with students and his door is open. I would ask the students at UTSA, go through the channels and set up meetings with the appropriate personnel there and come in with solutions also. Because the reality is that we don't have a solution right now in our city for how to provide services for families that do not meet income eligibility.
Well, we are taking, again, your call. We might have time for one or two more at 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. But we do have Tony, who I think backs up something that you had mentioned earlier, Anna, which is the prime reason people are looking for the right care is that it falls under their level of budget, falls into their budget. And Tony, you have something to add to that. Personal finances, a big problem?
Yes, our schools offer very little personal financial education. Mm-hmm. My kids are all grown up in college age now, but I remember just 2 or 3 weeks in high school and just very little training in that regard. And it affects more than just, you know, child care, but it's the entire income stream that they need to learn how to manage.
And Rhonda, do you have something to add?
No, I think he makes a really good point. I was just thinking about maybe that question was going to go in a different direction, but I can remember as a young mom and paying for child care before I started working in child care, that it really did become trade-offs, mm-hmm. and trade-offs of things I had to give up in order to pay for the child care where my 6-month-old attended. Because, you know, it wasn't the highest quality, it wasn't the lowest quality, but it was what I could afford, but maybe just a little bit above, because I really did minimize the types of things that I was used to having in budget to be able to add those extra dollars just to go a little bit further.
And Elisa, perhaps there are people who think, well, you know, just traditional childcare, even subsidized, is just way beyond my means. I know this lady down the block who takes care of a bunch of everybody's kids. I'll just drop my kid off there. What do you have to say to somebody who might be in that situation?
And that's what we encounter a lot of the times as well. And that's where the Family, Friends, and Neighbors program project came about, because we realized that that's what is happening out in our community, where we are, you know, partnering or linking to other friends, families, neighbors within our communities that are able to help us and providing that care for our children for those non-traditional hours. And like Ms. Rhonda was mentioning earlier, that it is, you know, a financial budget that parents have to manage. And over at Family Service Association, we do have a program, which is our Financial Empowerment Center. And they can call our main number, 210-299-2400. 210-299-2400. And that's the Financial Empowerment Center, where we consult with the families and have them create a budget to see where they're at and where are things, like Ms. Rhonda said, they can cut out some of those things to help them be able to afford that child care needs for their children that they are looking for and needing.
And really quickly, how do parents know that that particular, maybe they're going to a home care, they found that mom or dad down the street who's taking care of a bunch of kids? How do you know that that center is regulated? Rhonda?
Again, the most important thing that I could stress for our listeners is to take a few minutes and educate yourself. Go to the Texas Health and Human Services Commission's website, and it is still under, so I have it. It's www.dfps.state.tex.us.
Or just Google Texas.
Google, yeah, absolutely. But that is the best way. And also just asking the provider and asking to see a copy of their license.
Mm-hmm. What's going, again, to the unregulated child care centers, are there several of them here in San Antonio that you might know of that might be working perhaps under the or advertising themselves to parents that they, in fact, are going by the rules, but in fact, they're bypassing them all?
I think if they were not going by the rules, they wouldn't be advertising. But I do think that what we know as a narrative, and I feel United Way did a really good job a couple of years ago of really going out and looking and training providers, is it's not that they're a center. It's family members that are saying, I'm going to stay home and I'm going to have some of the children from the neighborhood. This conversation is important. This conversation is not happening. And so we know that the 21st century now, parents need early care.
Absolutely.
Well, this is a conversation, again, that could go on, and I'm sure we've just grazed the surface. We want to thank Rhonda Roach with the City of San Antonio Department of Human Services, Ana de Hoyos O'Connor with San Antonio College Early Childhood Studies, and Elisa Resendez with Family Service Association. Thank you all so much for being here today.
Thank you for having us, Norma.
And we want to thank you for listening. I'm Norma Martinez, and for David Martin Davies, have a great afternoon.